Mrajuchtuden.
Mrajuchtuden.
Sober as. Sober. Sober. Sober as.
Welcome to the Anonymous Eskimo Project, a program devoted to bringing hope to those struggling with mental health issues and addiction. Through candid conversations with guests about mental health issues, addiction, and sobriety, we can let those who are struggling know that they are not alone. I am your host, Ralph Sara. On this program, I have Stevie Ray Engeson. Stevie Ray is Aleut, Sukhpiak, and Yupik from Naknek, Alaska. Stevie Ray has been named a sober hero by Recover Alaska. She has been sober for almost 5 years. And on this show, Stevie Ray courageously shares her story for those who are still struggling. So guys, please help me welcome Stevie Ray Engeson. Hi, Stevie. How are you? Stevie Ray, right?
Yes, Stevie Ray.
How are you?
I'm doing really good, thank you.
So are you in Naknek right now?
Yes, I am in Naknek.
Okay, cool. And where is Naknek? So everybody could figure out where it is.
Naknek is a remote village in Bristol Bay. We are three communities for this region. It's King Salmon, Naknek, and South Naknek. We're also known as the Bristol Bay Borough.
Okay, cool. Kind of near Dillingham, too?
Yes, Dillingham is part of the Bristol Bay region.
Okay, awesome. So I saw that you were awarded to be a sober hero by Recover Alaska, and that's why I reached out to you. So first of all, congratulations for that.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
And how did they get in touch with you to let you know?
So my recovery journey is a little unique. It's a lot of attempts at treatment over in Dillingham. So I'd actually have to leave my area and get on a plane and go to a place called Jake's Place over in Dillingham. I had attempted recovery many times over there at Jake's Place. So the recovery community over there got to know me pretty well. And one of the ladies that was working at Jake's Place and who's always been a mentor to me was nominated me for this year's Recover Alaska Sober Hero.
So cool, man. That's pretty awesome. Yeah. Before we go on further, can you go ahead and introduce yourself to let everybody know who you are and you know, get to know you more?
Well, my name is Stevie Ray Engeson. I am Aleut. I am also Yupik, and I am white. I grew up in rural Alaska, Naknek, and I would go back between South Naknek and Naknek growing up. I kind of feel like we inherit as Alaska Natives these they call them traumas. I came to know them as traumas later on in recovery that just kind of get passed down to us, these core hurts that I felt different than a lot of the people around me. I think I was a lot more sensitive to it. Kind of didn't know why I felt the way I felt, but I was, you know, kind of depressed, sad, take a quick liking to drugs and alcohol. I got addicted very quickly. You know, there's a lot of things that I ended up doing early in my childhood, you know, to get addicted to those, I felt like I was exposed to them a lot quicker than the kids around me, and I was doing them more frequently than the kids around me, kind of experimenting earlier and eventually getting addicted at a very young age, kind of using it to numb my feelings. I know by time a lot of the kids were experimenting, I was already addicted to the alcohol and smoking weed and experimenting with drugs that weren't even known to any of my other classmates, numbing the pain where I didn't even really know where it was coming from. I ended up on the streets of Anchorage to feed my addiction, burned a lot of bridges, running away from family. I always had a healthy family support group every time I attempted recovery. I earnestly desired a healthy lifestyle, and I felt like I had a really good community that I kept building up every time I attempted recovery. I kept going back to using, and I kept struggling. It wasn't the true difference in my life is really when I was taught how to have a healthy relationship with God, that I can call on to Him and ask for healing. And I found myself healing in areas that I didn't really even know about that were bothering me. And me and my husband, we met on the streets in Mountain View, and we were praying together, and we kept healing and getting well together. And we eventually got married and gave our lives to God, and just an amazing testament of recovery.
So when you were out in Anchorage, you said you were homeless or houseless out in Anchorage, and you met your husband out there?
Yes. So I think I was comfortably living on the streets every winter for about 8 years, going back to that lifestyle, eventually ending up there. And we had met on the streets, and it wasn't common for me to really hook up with and stay with someone for too long. But we desired a healthy, better lifestyle together. We wanted to get well, and we kind of leaned on each other and helped each other with that. And we both been sober here in Naknek, and we were back in a house. We both got job. We own our house. We have jobs. We have vehicles. We still struggle with things, but we learn. We learned how to become parents. We learned how to become husband and wife. We learned a lot of things that we didn't even know before we were addicted to drugs and alcohol. We're learning every day.
Yeah. It seems like recovery and sobriety is just a learning experience every single day. Even me, like how you say you had this desire to live, better life and to live sober. I struggle with that even to this day. My recovery story is riddled with relapses and wanting to get sober, getting sober and then staying sober for a while. And then, life hits. And then even though I don't want to, I know what's going to happen to me. I'll go back to that old way of thinking, that this is going to make me feel better, And that it does for a few hours, or if you know what I mean, it feels good, and then it just keeps going. I'm somebody that if I have one drink, I'll just go and keep going. It's like I'm a person that I know to this day that I cannot have one drink, or else it'll end up like that. I want to go back to when you were that time you were out on the streets, like you said. You said you had a desire. You and your husband now had a desire to get sober, live a better life. Did you find it difficult to find help or resources at that time out on the streets?
I had a house here in Naknek burn down about, I think, 10 years ago. I don't know the exact amount of years, but the house had burned down, which was a blessing in disguise. I thought it was the end of my world. I couldn't find myself living with my mom, especially the choices that I made. I couldn't bring myself to drink in her. You know, I still did it, but, you know, it doesn't feel comfortable. Drinking and, you know, your mom's lifestyle is different than yours, and she doesn't want drinking in her house. And I was heavily addicted, so I kind of brought myself to those streets where it was a lot more comfortable, and you don't have any responsibilities. The resources that were my family, my dad, my house just got rebuilt. My boyfriend, my husband now, he didn't realize he's Samoan, and I'm Alaska Native, so there was a little bit of broken English, and our communication was mainly just through just feeling each other and just knowing, and we definitely could talk, but it was very little, and he came to learn a lot of English. So my dad met him a few times when he had come out to Anchorage, and he kind of knew that we were building a relationship together, and he could see that. So he felt comfortable enough to buy him a ticket home. We ended up coming home, and I noticed with a brand new house that the insurance paid, we were bringing those things back home with us. We were doing drugs in the house sometimes, and I was drinking, and I was very abusive when I drank, and I'd wake up, and you know, it was hard. We just bring those things home. So I remember there was a point that I bring myself to drink rubbing alcohol, and it was something I've never done before. I heard people do it, and I think I burned all my bridges. I had no money. I was detoxing off the alcohol. There was no way for me to find alcohol in that day, and I was so miserable that I went and I did that. I took a sip of that rubbing alcohol, and I slept for another hour, but it was making me very sick. I took another sip so I could relax and sleep for another hour, and Saito, he's very intelligent. I don't know how he knew. He just must have had a gut feeling that I was doing that, because he confronted me and he said, "Are you drinking this?" And I just cried and I said yes, and I told him I need help, and I called my mom and I told her what I did, and she said, "Well, what do you want to do?" And I said, I need help. I need to go to treatment." And I told the clinic what I did. They got me a place right in treatment. I was an intravenous drug user at the time. I don't recall using anytime soon, but that was like my ticket in, that I was an intravenous drug user, and it was that they have beds the same day for people who call in and want treatment that are intravenous drug users, especially heroin, because they don't want them to lose their lives. And I didn't get in that day. I think I had to go to detox for 16 days, I believe, and then I made it over there to Jake's place. The hospital let me go for about 2 hours until they were ready for me at Jake's, and I think I went and had my last drink, one last swig for some reason. I don't know what the point of it was, but I had that one last drink, and the resources were, I had found out by then enough times what I needed to do to get in treatment every time I wanted help. It was by trial and error of how I knew what to do and what I knew what to say over the years of my experience in getting into treatment. I think people are scared to go to Dillingham. They don't want to go there. They don't want to leave their community. So I, for years here in Naknek, I've been, just praying, God, you know, bring the same resources to this community that are available in Dillingham. And slowly, I work for SAFE as an advocate. I'm working over here part-time at the shelter, and we have the same groups that were available for me over there. There's over at Chamay Community Health Center, they're working on a program there, a treatment for people who are struggling with opioids. I'm not sure what it's going to look like, but I'm hoping it's a Suboxone clinic. I don't know how many times I had to get on Suboxone when I was addicted to heroin, and that definitely saved my life. So resources here in Naknek and King Salmon area are slowly starting to see them arise here, but in rural Alaska, those resources aren't available. They'd have to go to Dillingham, and hopefully soon they'll be able to come here too. I'm hoping that will be another option for them as well.
Yeah. And it's funny that you say the resources in rural Alaska is, you know, some of the smaller communities are almost, you know, non-existent. They have to either travel to a bigger hub town of Alaska, you know, like you said, Dillingham or Bethel, you know, where I'm from. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of a blessing in disguise with the social media, because now you can get online and find sources online like AA meetings or, you know, different types of meetings that you can attend over the internet if you have it. You know, some people don't have it. A lot of people don't know where to turn. And I'm so glad that I'm hearing from you that it's slowly starting to make its presence known in smaller communities like Naknek.
Mm-hmm. So one of the I was in active addiction for approximately 15 years, you know, maybe a little bit longer than that, but so they call what I have is a lived experience. You know, I was suicidal. I was overdosing. I was going to mental institutions. I was in and out of jail. I was all these things. You know, went to the clinic, went to the Native clinic, went to Jake's place. I was in and out of all these places throughout my use, and they call it lived experience. The experience that I have inside of me is very, very valuable to this day. When they told me that the things that you have inside, the experiences you went through, are going to help many people, you know, like in the recovery world, and it, being able to be on podcasts, being able to speak, and you know, to physicians and doctors and echoes and things like that. Whenever I'm seeing what they're talking about come to light, that it is making a difference, that, you know, these doctors are hearing. I went to so many places for help and that received money, you know, even back when I was using, they received money to help people like me. And I'm leaving those places feeling worse than when I went in. Mm-hmm. And to be able to go to those places and saying, hey, you're receiving a very large amount of money for people who are struggling with opioid use, for people, you know, there's the money is there, you're receiving it. And I would come to these places and I would feel worse than when I went in. And this is exactly what doctors would say to me, or nurses, or practitioners. And a lot of those people still work there today. And a lot of those people had ended up saying, sorry, I'm sorry for the way I treated you, which is so, it's just an amazing experience, you know, for me to be able to say, hey, this is how you used to make me feel. And I didn't appreciate that. And for them to change and for their hearts to change, to see the growth is amazing. There is no short on resources in these organizations. They receive the money. It's just the proper use of that resource, the effective use of that resource. I'm seeing a lot of education and informed care, which is the difference that I'm seeing, the trauma-informed care. Throughout my whole years in active addiction and going to places for help, in the very beginning, I was treated horribly. In the very middle, I could feel a difference, and I couldn't tell you what that difference was. I wasn't being as treated as badly as when I first had went in. And in the end of my times of going in and asking for help, they were amazing. I'm assuming it was trauma-informed care, or, you know, like just the information and education that they were gathering on people who are struggling with addiction. But at the end, they did amazing in detox with me. They treated me like a human. They cried with me. They laughed with me. You know, they wished me the best of luck, and they, you know, it's just amazing the change that I seen within the Dillingham detox over there. But yes, what I think it's gonna be is the trauma informed care in the overall thing as I get into these interviews and these echoes and in being interviewed for things like this over the radio, the main thing that to my point of getting something across is what can we do. And the underlying thing is how just be nice, treat someone like a human when they come to you. That's the underlying thing. Mm-hmm. Is just, you know, there's these people who are have experienced mass amounts of trauma their whole lives, and they're coming to you for help, and just treat them decent, treat them like a human, treat them with compassion.
What is driving your sobriety and your recovery now?
So throughout my journey, I've had my daughter, and so I do the echoes for UAA, and on these echoes, they want to hear my lived experience, because there's physicians and doctors and nurses and practitioners, and there's people that in this those communities out in Anchorage, you know, that are taking these classes at UAA, that they want to hear someone's with lived experience about what they can do differently, you know, like someone who's struggled and what's going through their minds and how they're just hurting and they want help. And, you know, so I did this one with OCS, my daughter. I left my daughter at the hospital over at Providence. I went in and I had her, and I was in the middle of my addiction, and I was using when I had her, I was using, and I left her at the hospital after I had went to my first court case, and it was 2 years ago. I was sober about 2 years ago, I want to say. And I'm sober, and I went up to my mom's house because my mom had to take my daughter. And I, the foster boy that's up there, he gave me a piece of paper. He said, "Auntie Stevie, this has your name on it. I found it." And I looked at it, and it said Office of Children's Services out of Anchorage. And I was like, "What is this?" So I put it in later on in my room. I was like, okay, I was alone, and I opened it. And it was my assessment that they brought to the court during that first time in court, you know, when you're trying to get your daughter back, and they have all this long list of things that you need to do. You know, you need to, for one, be sober, you need to go to treatment, you need to look into parenting, you know, they have this long list of stuff for you to do. And I remember reading that assessment and thinking, oh my gosh, no wonder I left. I was hard on myself for a long time, you know, leaving your daughter. No wonder I left my daughter at the hospital. It has this list of things that they read off to me in that court case. The things I already knew, the things I already struggled with, has trouble connecting with, you know, with us. Every time we see her, you know, it just mentioned how I was high and I couldn't make a good connection with people. And I would go in, and they were evaluating me every time they seen me visit my daughter in the NICU, you know. And so they're reading back this list of stuff to me at court. And no wonder I left her there at the hospital. And last week, I didn't think I was, they asked me, "Can you please speak on your experience with OCS in the hospital and the things that they could do differently?" And the thing, you know, and I was able to speak out on that, and I was able to, you know, and it was hard for me to tell them. And so, yeah, I thought it was going to be the least important through all these echoes that I'm doing. And it was the most impactful one was that last echo that I did. For doctors and OCS and practitioners to hear, I didn't want to be using, for one, I didn't want to have my daughter with drugs in her system. I desired a healthy daughter. I desired a healthy, normal lifestyle. I tried for the life of me to quit, and I couldn't. And I was here in this situation at a hospital with, you know, Providence of all places, where I felt so out of place. And I'm here, you know, there, I'm under a magnifying glass being examined by all these people. And I'm just, you know, so stigmatized as an Alaska Native woman who was using drugs with this precious angel in her stomach, you know. And she comes out and she has to detox. And it was so impactful to be able to tell OCS, you know, this is, I ended up leaving her at the hospital after that. And that's why I think it's important for me to speak out, so people can know how to work with someone instead of against them. That's why the change that needs to take place in organizations, places that receive resources to act, effectively use those resources to help people who are coming in for help.
Yeah, that, oh my gosh, that is so powerful and courageous for you to be doing this work, man. If there is one person out there struggling, you know, what piece of advice would you give to that person?
Don't ever give up, ever. If you earnestly are seeking a healthy lifestyle, which who isn't seeking that, right? Just be bold enough to face yourself and work on yourself, and just don't ever give up. You know, go, I failed even daily sometimes. Even when I was in treatment, I was failing daily. Maybe I wasn't using, but my actions weren't the healthiest. I was so super unhealthy. And or just be bold enough to face yourself and work on those little things one by one. You don't fix yourself overnight.
Yeah, just keep going. And that's something I have to still tell myself, you know, just keep going, pick yourself up and keep going. You know, there's people that are out there that are struggling so much that, you know, listen to these stories and find hope in them, or even relate to them and know that they're not alone. Stevie, I really thank you so much for the courage to come on here and share your story. I appreciate you so much. And congratulations on becoming a sober hero through Recover Alaska. So awesome.
Yeah, thank you for having me, and thank you for doing what you do as well.
Well, that's all for today's show. I hope you, the listeners, found some inspiration, strength, and hope. Listen next week when I have another strong, courageous person who is walking with us on this healing journey. I'm your host, Ralph Sara. Biura!
Native Voice 1, the Native American Radio Network.